Good morning, everybody. It really is a joy to be back. Thank you so much. And you know, over this next 4 weeks, we're going to have first today an installment of four different videos that I'll MC and summarize and segue live, but I think you'll really enjoy it. But it's about making decisions. We all have dreams. Dreams start off great. Dreams about our marriage, our family, our finances, our future, what we can be for God. But sometimes that which began with a blissful wedding ceremony often ends too abruptly. Or a friendship that you thought would last a whole lifetime, all of a sudden, through some miscommunication, gets derailed. Or a family that just splits apart. And then remorse starts to talk. Remorse? Yeah. We say we shouldn't have ever gotten married. Or I should never trust anybody. Or what's this family stuff about? Or forget this church stuff. And we make contrary decisions to our dreams when we're discouraged and when we're angry or temptable or lonely. That's not when you make decisions. Today, you're going to see a teaching about when we should make decisions and how we can keep them. It's from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, where Paul says, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." It's a commitment that we make. How do you make that? How do you keep it? We're about to see how. Let's take a look at a video called "Discipline Yourself for the Purpose of Godliness." Let's take a look.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, tell you, when you're broken down on the side street like this, even an understanding of basic mechanics sure helps. And there's just some stuff you gotta do for yourself. In fact, the Bible does say that there's four things you gotta do for yourself. In fact, it says you gotta humble yourself, and then it says check yourself to see if you're in the faith, and then encourage yourself. But today, we're gonna talk about how to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's right. I think we're ready to go. We're going to talk about that. I think she'll make it. We'll see.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart? One thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gone.
Waikiki, one of the most famous places in the world. And it's a gorgeous day.
Always get in the grease. Better to shower the people you love with love. Yes, and show them the way that you feel.
That's Aaron and Micah. They're supposed to be working. think surfing is working.
Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel.
We're coming into Kapiolani Park, one of the prettiest parks on the island. Hey! What are you doing?
Praise the Lord.
Just like pouring rain.
Jogging around, it's a beautiful day, a lot of activity. It's here that we'll talk a little bit about things we need to do for ourselves. The Bible talks about that, and having a little bit of the basic principles of life will help you so much. And sometimes you're going to feel a little bit cornered when it comes to life, in a marriage, at your job. And there's certain things you just got to do for yourself. Reminds me of the story of this fire that had broken out downtown, and all of these high-tech fire engines went down to put it out, but to no avail. They tried and tried. They couldn't do a thing. In fact, people were retreating because the heat was so bad. Just then, coming down the road was a volunteer fire department fire truck, one of these 1958 fire trucks. Water squirting out of these leaky hoses, and all four guys in the fire truck seemed to be all over 70 years old. But they went right by these high-tech fire trucks, and with stalwart courage, they just drive right into the burning inferno, and they jump out and start putting out the fire from inside the building. People were amazed at the courage of these guys. Well, about a month later, they had a banquet to commemorate the courage of these people. And the fire chief himself hands them a check for $20,000 to the volunteer fire department for their courage. And the fire chief said, "What are you going to use this $20,000 for?" And a little old guy looks up at him and says, "Well, the first thing we're going to do with it is we're going to get them brakes fixed on our truck." Now, sometimes you just feel like you don't have a choice. You're put into a situation and you gotta do certain things for yourself. And having a few basics of life down really, really helps. So we're gonna talk about that when it comes to disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness. Well, here we are at Kapiolani Park. We're gonna come to a parking spot right over here and we'll talk a little bit more together. Glad the brakes on this thing works. Hey, today we're going to talk about one of the things that we've got to do for ourselves. The Bible says to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You know, I just visited California, and one thing I know that I can't do without a GPS unit. That's right. Without that trusty assistant, I'd still be somewhere between here and there. But I noticed that one thing about that GPS unit, it requires that you plug in an address. In other words, it requires that you need to know where you want to go. But once you plug in that address, those coordinates, that location, then that GPS can bring all the technology of low-orbiting satellites to bear. Principles of longitude, latitude, the compass directions of north, south, east, and west brings all of that to bear to assist you, to help you to get to where you want to go. But you got to plug those coordinates in first. The Bible talks about the same thing is true with life. You got to know where you're going. And the Bible says it this way, that the end of every man, or one of the goals of mankind, is to be like God. I mean, after all, God created us in His image. So He wants us to be like Him. In other words, to think like He would think, to act as He would act, to make the decisions that He would make. That's what the Bible calls godliness. But when it says to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, it means that that address, those goals for your life, of what godliness means, has to be intentionally plugged in. It has to be plotted. Godliness. What does that mean for your family? What it means is this way. I say you've got to have a preferred future, a picture of a preferred future for your life. Plug it in. A preferred future for your family, for yourself, for your finances. And when you plug that in, then all of heaven's powers start to bear to assist you to get to where you want to go. But that definition of godliness has to be written down. And I would encourage you, you got to write it down. You see, Habakkuk 2:2 says this, record the vision, make it plain, so that those who read it may run. See, you've got to be able to write it down. But here's what I say. When you write down that picture of what it means to be godly in your attitude or your family, what's a preferred future? What's a preferred picture of your family, your life, your disposition, your perceptions, your finances? When you get that down, you need to make sure that you are in the clearest minded state that you can be in. You got to be clear-headed. You got to be close to God. Clear-headed, close to God. You don't want to make those life important decisions when you're overly optimistic or overly discouraged, because those will be false readings. You want to make sure that coordinate that you plug in is the best. And that only happens when you're clear-headed and close to God. Then write it down, because you'll not always be in that frame of reference. There'll be times you'll be discouraged. There'll be times that you'll be depressed and lonely and ready to bail out. But you don't want to make decisions when you're in that frame of mind. Think about it this way. What if all of our decisions were made when we were depressed, discouraged, exasperated, ready to bail out, lonely, and then you make life's most important decisions in that frame of mind? What do you think our lives would look like? You got it. Terrible. But did you know that most of our decisions are made with that kind of frame of reference? That's right. You see, things happen in our families that aren't that good, and we just say, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm discouraged. I'm mad. And in a heart filled with anger, with a heart of discouragement, exasperation, we make decisions. And some of our most important life decisions are made when we are at the lowest of the low. So, when you are clear-headed and close to God, you establish those coordinates of what's most important for your family, for your life, for your finances, for your attitude, who you're going to be, what kind of person you want to be, and then you got to write it down. That's what Habakkuk says, write it down, because there's going to be times you want to bail out, but you look at that and say, no, I wrote these decisions down. I want to be this kind of person. This is what it means to be godly. And even though I don't feel like it right now, I'm going to, here it is, discipline myself for the purpose of godliness. Yep, I won't feel like it. I want to bail out. I want to make another decision. But I look at it and I say, were these decisions about my family, my marriage, the kind of person I want to be, my faith, my devotion to God, did I make these when I was depressed? No, I made it when I was clear-headed and close to God. Then even though I want to make another decision, I say no, because I'm going to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness. Otherwise, our decisions will be horrible. This is what we want. If you do it wrong, you'll make crazy decisions. Hey, stay right there. Chansum is right over here on the picnic table. I'll be right back. Hold on. Hey, Chansum, what are you doing here? I just saw you over there. You look depressed and discouraged and lonely.
I'm making one decision, one life important kind of decision.
Decision? What kind of decision?
You know, when I would marry my wife, but she was skinny and pretty, and I don't like saying this, but now she's fat and ugly. Oh, sorry, I know it's not good to say that, but and she can do everything I ask her. Now she don't do nothing. But you know what I like to do? I like divorce her and then I'm gonna kill myself.
Sounds pretty radical to me.
I know it's one radical decision. It's radical. But I cannot handle no more.
Why don't you do it the other way around?
What?
Instead of getting a divorce and then killing yourself, why don't you do it the other way around? You don't have to go through the divorce.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's one. Let me write that down. Try wait.
No. I'm just joking. That was a joke.
You just making fun of me, Abra. Don't make fun of that, bro. This is one important life decision.
Let me ask you this. Do you do devotions?
I hate demotion. Every job I work for, I get demotion. I'm tired of demotion.
No, not demotion. Devotions, when you read the Bible, then you journal according to the acrostic SOAP, and you let God talk to you, because that's when you're clear-headed and you're closest to God. That's when you make decisions, not when you're discouraged and lonely and depressed.
Well, devotion. Oh, when you read the Bible and journal, and then you follow the acrostic SOAP, like that. No, I don't do that.
Let's do it this way. Why don't you just come to church?
Church.
That's right. Just start there. Come to church this weekend, all right? And then let God talk to you.
Okay. I tell you, I'll go to church.
Promise?
I promise. You watch for me each Sunday, bro.
Okay, I'll be looking for you.
That's right, Pastor.
All right. We'll see you there.
Okay. All right. You watch for me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be your church.
Okay.
That's right, Pastor. That's right, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Rain. You think about it. If you made all your life important decisions when you were discouraged, exasperated, angry, mad, lonely, what do you think your life would look like? But if you think about it, 80% of our decisions often are made in that state of mind. And we wonder why we're always playing catch up with life. That's why it's important that when you're clear-headed and close to God, you set down what your faith should be, what your devotional life should be, what should your marriage be like, what do you want your family to be like? And then when you're not in that frame of mind, when you're discouraged and depressed, you don't make a contrary decision, even though you would like to, and even though you have a tendency to and you feel pushed to, you don't. Because I remember that I made these decisions when I was close to God and clear-headed, and I'm not that way right now. And even though I'd like to, I'm going to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness, and you'll stay more on the money. And you know that picture there? That becomes a picture of your preferred future. That's hope. Oh, you're not there yet, but I run with hope. I don't see it. I haven't realized it yet, but I know that that's a picture of my future. And even though I don't see it, I run with that in mind. And I make decisions according to that. And that keeps you on the straight and narrow. Hope. We need to run with that. Let's take a look at the second half and see what we learn about hope. Let's take a look. As I said before, what if all of our decisions were made when we're depressed, discouraged, out of breath? It won't be a good decision that we'll make. But most of us make our decisions at that low point in life, in that state of mind, that frame of reference. But I want to encourage you to take some time that when you're close to God and you're clear-headed, to take time to paint a picture of a preferred future for your faith, for your marriage, for your family. And you establish that address, plug it into your GPS. And even though things don't always seem good, you run with that hope in mind. You don't make decisions when things are down. You keep that hope and you run with hope. That's what the Bible talks about, that there's a hope that does not disappoint. There was a time when my family wasn't doing really well, but I had a picture of what I wanted for a family. And even though things were not the best, I ran with a hope of my family being that. A bright picture, a bright future. Sort of like the bus. Let's say people are wanting to catch the bus. Now, the bus hasn't come around the corner yet, but let's say there's some of the riders that know that a bus is going to come at a certain time, and the driver's always faithful to be there right on the money. Now, even though the bus hasn't turned the corner, they know that they've got a minute to go, and they're running. They're running to that bus stop. Is the bus there? No. But they know that the bus will be there. They're running in hope of the bus arriving on time. Now, they know that bus driver's always faithful. So, are they running by sight? No. Is the bus there? No. But they run in hope. They know the bus will be there. You see, 1 Corinthians 13 says, now abides faith, hope, and love. Now, we've heard a lot about faith, we know about love, but we don't hear much about hope. Hope is a picture of a preferred future that you have, that when you're clear-headed and close to God, you write it down. Remember Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain so those who read it may run. You write it down, and when things don't seem so rosy and you don't see the bus, you run with a hope in mind that it's going to come to pass. And then that gives you motivation, that keeps you strong, even when you don't see results. You run with hope. Can I encourage you to pick up a life planner? The new year is available for you. In the middle of every life planner, there's a place to write down what's most important. In other words, you can paint a picture of a preferred future for your faith, for your marriage, for your family, for your finances. You write that down when you're clear-headed and close to God. You write that down because you'll not always be in that frame of reference. You'll get discouraged or depressed, but you know that this is what you're going to run with. This is the GPS set point, not how you feel. Because if you make decisions with a bad frame of reference and a bad state of mind, our decisions and our futures will be horrible. But take one of those life planners and write that in and run with that hope in mind. Even though it doesn't look like it's going well at that time, you run with that hope in mind. And when you do, you'll be able to see a bright future. You'll run with hope and you'll be on the money.
Show the people you love with.
Do that, and you'll never miss the bus.
They say you never shall like people you love with love. They say the rain must fall. Just like a pouring rain. You love with love. Make it rain. Show them.
Hey! Stop the bus! I don't like me the bus! Oh, that's the way! Tell them stop the bus! Oh. Oh, man, I don't like me the bus, that's it. You know what? I'm not going to your church. That's right. That's my final decision. I'm not going to your church. I'm not going to your church. No more. No. No more. I'm foul. I'm foul with you.
When you're down and you're out and you don't think you have a friend, when you're lost in the doubt and you can't see what's around the bend. Well, just hold on, don't turn around. Keep on walking, don't lose heart. 'Cause He is here, He is here. Wherever you are, wherever you are. When the rain is falling and there's no silver lining and you just can't seem to find the light, when you need a reason to help you keep believing, let His love be your blue sky.
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 Don't you know that? Don't you know over the horizon, the sunny day you're looking for is waiting right here in His love. But just hold on, don't turn around. Keep on walking, don't lose heart. 'Cause He is here, He is here. Wherever you are, wherever you are. When the rain is falling and there's no silver lining and you just can't see to find a light, when you need a reason to help you keep believing, let His love be your blue sky.
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 Come on. Don't you be afraid. Whatever comes tomorrow, His love is here to stay. Come on, come on. Don't you be afraid.
Whatever comes tomorrow, His love is here to stay. Come on, come on. Don't you be afraid. Whatever comes tomorrow, His love is here to stay.
Come on,
come on. Come on, come on. Don't you be afraid. Whatever comes tomorrow, His love.
The rain is falling,
there's no silver lining, and you just can't seem to find the light. When you need a reason to help you keep believing, let His love be your blue sky.
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 Let's stand together as we conclude. As I was saying, we have the new 2009 life planners available. And in the middle of these planners, you can write down that what you would say would be a godly marriage, a godly attitude, a godly devotional life. And that's where you write it down. And that becomes the hope that you run with. And then when you are discouraged or tempted or blue or lonely, you look at that and you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And this other state will pass. But if you make life-important decisions in that state of mind, you'll regret it. You'll regret it. But you say, but it's painful to discipline yourself and stay with what you wrote here, because I'd rather go contrary to that. Yep, there's going to be two pains in life. Here's the two pains. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. You choose. But be a people that run with hope. I tell you, in the end, you'll be right on the money, and you won't ever miss the bus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for such a wonderful church called New Hope. We ask that you would bring your blessings to bear on each of us as we learn to make Mondays count, or we take the words of the scriptures
and we apply it, work into the very fabric of who we are, so that it changes the way we make decisions, so that we don't just know about Bible stuff, we are wiser because of Bible stuff. Let that be so. And now, Lord, would you go with every single person here as we become people who look more and more like you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Would you thank him who loves us the most?